Welcome to the Urban Farming Podcast. My name is Chris Late. I've been urban farming for about 2 years now, and we really here to get the notion of urban farming as a potential solution to food security on track. So please hit the subscribe button, like us on Facebook, and to send us what you would like to know and understand better about urban farming. Hi, it's Chris Late here. It's our second podcast episode, and I've got Rika Joubert with me again. Rika, previous time we had a look at why urban farming is important, I think maybe let's just start there quickly. The wonderful nutritional value that comes with that. My journey with urban farming literally started with smoothies. And I remember at the time I was very impressed with you saying, but you don't have to go and buy all these things, you can grow it.
Yes. I believe that, you know, the vegetables and the plants that you grow in your own garden is maybe the healthiest. It grows in your environment with the specific germs and bugs and exposure to the weather, all of that in your own environment. So like I said in the first episode, you know, the immune system of the plant is very much like your own immune system. And if you have a plant that has adapted to your own specific environment, then that plant actually makes the nutrients that your body needs for your specific circumstance.
Well, amazing. And a recent TED Talk episode that I watched on YouTube with one of the leading professors in the Liverpool area around aquaponics gave the example that his three-year-old was not very much into health food at all. You know, it wasn't didn't have a M on the packaging.
Just by the way, I'm also not very much into health food. I'm into feeling good, and I want to feel energetic, and you know, I want to be able to get through my long working day, and I want to be able to relax properly, you know, and I find that eating the green leafy vegetables helps me to relax. I'm quite a nervous energy anyway. So I find that I think it's the magnesium in the green leafy vegetables that helps me to chill a bit. And yeah.
Well, again, I think maybe just, and I want you to elaborate on that, but just the example I wanted to use is he said his kid wasn't, you know, into real food, if I want to put it that
real
way.
Food, yeah.
And but then when he started involving her and he brought in a small, you know, the aquaponics setup into the kitchen, and it became her job to feed the fish and started taking care of the plants and actually harvesting those plants and making her own smoothie, that's now her routine. She makes everybody smoothies in the morning. So, you know, I think, and then you alluded to that a lot, it's not just ABC leaf. It's really about your interaction.
Yes, I think one of the problems that even me myself at some stage battled from is I felt a sense of disconnection from the people in my community, disconnected from nature. Even, you know, we sometimes disconnected from our labor, from our own work, you know. So I think growing vegetables or growing your own vegetables is really a brilliant way to find your sense of connection again. It's, you can take your excess vegetables to your neighbors as gifts. You can, and I think I mentioned to you that I believe that we live so much in a society where instant gratification has become the norm. And when you plant your own vegetables, you realize that there is a lot to be said for delayed gratification, for living a little bit slower.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, you know, it's yeah, there's many aspects, but I think the visual aspect as well, as you mentioned at a previous time, you know, the different types. Well, let's take a simple example like artichoke. It's such a beautiful plant, you know, as a potential focus plant, whether it's on a balcony or in a bigger edible fruit forest or whatever. Yes. But Rico, maybe let's just, you know, go through a bit of a tick list. If I was now keen to start with a urban farm, or just gardening and not necessarily having the ambitions to have a sustainable market garden or whatever, the first thing is, the first tick box is, well, why are you doing that? Are you really going to harvest this and eat it? And let's say yes, we've ticked that box. Now the next one is, right, let's just start with something. I assume most, well, I know for a fact most nurseries do have a vegetable component where you can buy seedlings, but you only use seed. If
yes, I'm very
correctly.
Stingy. So I buy the heirloom seeds. They replant themselves over and over again. And every, you know, with heirloom seeds, the crop seems to stay good and healthy over the years. So, and I have that with my lettuces. They like weeds. They really replant. I have forgotten about them. I go into my garden and I'll see, and even when the birds destroy my garden, you know, like a few weeks later, I'll go out again and I'll see, okay, well, the lettuce, they're growing again.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, especially now that we've had rain,
yeah,
it's actually wonderful to see.
It's amazing. And many, especially from permaculture side of things, permaculture voices, etc., the whole notion of chop and drop, you know, so when you're, let's say your lettuce bolted, you couldn't, well, it went to seed in any way, that's not something you throw away. You just crop and chop it right there, and the seeds just, you know,
yes,
germinate right,
yes,
there again. You know.
Or you can harvest the seeds and you can give it to your neighbors or your friends, or, you know.
But let's talk about it, and to me, maybe that's the third sort of box you want to tick if you're considering starting an urban farm, is, and I think there's a lot to be said for just, you know, having an extra fridge or having an extra pharmacy in your house and the likes. But it's a wonderful way of meeting the neighbors and really recreating the village effect. And please just elaborate a bit on your community.
Well, I mentioned to you that I have a worm farm. So I know I do fight with my neighbors sometimes because they sometimes put the pineapple in the worm farm. So the worms don't really like pineapple very much. I think there's some acid or something in there that they don't like. But they've started, you know, when I go on holiday, my neighbors will look after my worms, for example.
Okay. Yeah.
And again, children really love, you know, they love that cycle of life that, you know, farming brings back. We share vegetables, we share seeds, it's a way of talking to one another over the fence.
Well, absolutely, that's really what society needs is a village. It takes a village to grow a child, I think is the proverb.
Yes, and it's a great way of teaching children responsibility, a little bit of responsibility, because all that often, you know, when it's not raining, it's good to water your plants.
So we know why we want to do it. We sort of got a good idea of how to do it. We know what we're going to do with the excess.
I think you should educate me on the how to, because I still have a lot to learn as far as how to is concerned. I know that, you know, if certain things my plants don't do well, you know. But it's usually when I start, when I start involving the foreign things, you know, the foreign fertilizer or the, that I don't do very well.
Okay.
I think when I leave it up to nature, nature is much more successful than what I am.
Okay. Well, there's so many methods that one can use, whether it is dedicating a piece of your garden or sacrificing a bit of lawn for a garden, whether it is ambitions of having an edible fruit forest, if it is putting up hydroponics or aquaponics setup. I mean, there is many ways, but I think what is most valuable of what you just said is it's not that complex. It's awareness, and personally, my philosophy on it, Rico, is that all things will, you know, there'll be equilibrium. Things will just go back to equilibrium if you leave them. And as a farmer, your responsibility is actually to disturb that equilibrium ever so slightly.
Yes.
But if you do it too much, you're going to have a detrimental effect.
And I'm not the type of person who's going to bake a cake for my neighbor, so a bunch of spinach will just have to do.
Just do fine. Yeah. No, that is... if I, you know, what I maybe must emphasize is... on my journey, I was actually astonished to realize that beyond the neighbors, there's a massive need from local restaurants, local farmers markets, and that getting rid of your excess crop is really not that difficult.
Yes, I've never thought of it because, you know, like on my balcony is quite sunny, and I often have a lot of basil. And basil is one of those things, the more you cut it, the more basil leaves it will grow. And I think lots of local restaurants might look for, I've never thought of actually selling my produce.
Well, that's one of the topics that I'd like to cover in a future podcast is how sustainable is urban farming. And I guess it depends a lot on your point of departure. But definitely that it is going to have an effect in terms of meeting wonderful people. That's definitely part of it.
You know, you are a professional urban farmer. You produce and you make a little bit of a profit, I hope.
Yeah.
Me, you know, I'm not so professional, and I think even if you just take your peels and your, you know, the what's left over from the vegetables that you've cooked, and you put that in the soil, a garden will start growing.
A garden will start growing. No, that's amazing, Rico. And maybe let's get back to what is the best crop to start with. I mean, it is important to understand that there's certain things like basil, which is more summer plant.
Yes.
Something like baby spinach, which is more of winter plant, for example.
I think the best crop is what you think you will use in your kitchen. You know, and if you're not such a professional farmer, then let's say you use a lot of tomatoes. I think a lot of people use tomatoes. Then tomatoes or celery, or, you know, also something that's maybe that's fresh. You know, that when you cook, you know that you never have oregano, or you never have what, you know. Or the shops run out.
Yeah, I think that my journey started with the ambition of making my own Greek salad. You know, just haven't got down around to the cheese yet, but
Chris, I know that you'll get there. I just think, you know, in the olden days, if I remember what my grandparents, what their backyard looked like. They had lots of fruit trees in the backyard. That's nearly something was bearing fruit at one stage of the year. They never bought lemons. I spend a fortune on buying lemons.
Yeah.
Herbs. Everybody grew their herbs at their back door, at the back of the kitchen, where they needed it. And I think maybe the first step is maybe to go back to that and to say, what is it that I need? Do I need parsley in the kitchen? Do I need basil? Do I need chives?
Well, and I think there's maybe, you know, something to consider in terms of some things actually dry quite nicely.
Yes.
If you want to preserve, don't disregard your pickle recipes, perhaps even. But still, I think there's a lot of movement currently around, how can the community benefit from this? And how can we seriously like you said, leave a smaller footprint in the process. And how do we focus on, all right, so as we now sort of covered, why do you want to do it? How do you start, or how do you get rid of your excess? What I'm trying to understand is, in terms of your experience, closing the loop. So now it's regenerative, it's continuous, and there's a lot of talking points around that, but more specifically, how do you get your patients, for example, to also get that added value and exercise, etc., around and awareness around it?
Well, for older clients, to garden is a very good way to exercise. You know, it's you out in the sun, you get the vitamin D. The other thing that we have forgotten is that the microorganisms that's in the soil is very good for our own immune system. So that forms part, that connection that we think exists only in our head, that we feel that we need to have a connection with the soil or with the plants or with nature, is actually when you start looking at the existence of the microbiome and our own internal microorganisms, we actually need that from the soil. And that is why it's important that our soils is rich. So there's that as well. And, believe that green leafy vegetables are one of the best things that you can eat. It helps you, it puts fiber in your diet, it detoxifies you, it keeps your digestive health well. If your digestive health is good, your health in general will be good.
Yeah, excellent. If you perhaps can give a bit of advice around, and I know you've got a fairly extensive library of recipe books and the likes. Is there anything specific? Let's start with smoothies. I mean,
like everything else, I think smoothies has become controversial. You know, some people don't want a lot of carbohydrates in their diet, and a lot of people are diabetic or pre-diabetic, so they're very scared, as to what, how much sugar or things they have in their smoothie. So I like to make a green juice.
Okay.
And I like to put in lemon. I like to put in all your green leafy vegetables, your kale, your spinach. I like to put in carrots. Carrots are very rich in calcium, and it's a good absorbable form of calcium. And all your the other thing with your green leafy vegetables is a lot of magnesium, and our soils are very much depleted from magnesium. And it's a very quick way, when you make a green juice, it's a very quick way to absorb your nutrients. I like to put in fresh turmeric. That's one of my favorites at the moment, with a little bit of pepper. It helps the absorption of the turmeric.
Yeah.
What else? An apple, sometimes a little bit of a quarter of an apple, just to take the bitterness away.
Yeah.
So your green leafy vegetables are often bitter, but something that tastes bitter is actually very, very good for your liver. So they say sweet on the lips, bitter for the liver. Okay. Bitter on the lips, sweet for the liver.
All right. I'll remember that. For me as well, maybe it's I was just astonished around the how nice it is when we typically harvest on Mondays and Thursdays, and then whatever is left, you do unfortunately can't always harvest exactly according to orders.
You should start a juice factory.
Well, yeah, but still, even just looking at it and getting my wife and other kids to give comment, all right, what can we do about it? And suddenly, a new menu pops up, and all right, well, what is good with rosemary? All right, well, let's try this and that. And it brings a fun element to the kitchen, as opposed to just, hitting the button on the microwave, I guess.
Yes. I like a lot of raw, so salad for me is my favorite food nearly, I like raw vegetables or lightly steamed vegetables. I really like that. But I think the most important thing is eat what you like, It's not always green leafy vegetables for everyone. You know, I think find that connection. And I think when you are a little bit honest with yourself, your body will also start telling you what it is that it's craving for.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can just say by virtue of our own example, I mean, and we grow microgreens, and as you probably know, the micro herb has got 40% more nutritional value than the adult leaf, and I mean, I can just not imagine a plate of food without my microgreens on.
Yes, so you can put a few microgreen leaves on top of your steak, and it'll already be more nutritious.
Absolutely, Rika.
And it's quite easy to grow at home. From not that I've done that, but I understand that it's quite easy to grow at home.
Yes, yeah. Well, it's just basically the baby plant that.
And do you grow it in a specific kind of soil, or?
Yeah, the soil is obviously important. I must say there's guys helping me with the microgreens that's much more in fuel with that. I tend to sort of focus a little bit more on the on the business side of the farm nowadays. But like you said, tried and tested soil types is there for a reason. Also, with the microgreens, we obviously use tunnels and mist irrigation. So it's got a bit of a commercial feel to it. I personally enjoy the organic ground stuff quite a lot.
Yes, but you know, Chris, there's a place for all
everything.
Of us.
I don't think there's one thing that's got the only answer.
I think if every person has one or two vegetables in their backyard that supplements their kitchen and supplements their grocery bowl, you know, that it will make a difference already.
Well, absolutely.
And I think you mentioned earlier on that an average lettuce travels, I don't know how long. I mean, and if you think of the plastic to package it and the pesticides that goes on the lettuce, you know, it's crazy.
No, it is a concern, and it's something I think we really need to address as a collective. But in the end, to me, it's almost, you know, that when the penny drops, that look, you know, it's great that I'm doing it for the neighbors and for the world and everything. But actually, if you think about it, just doing it for yourself is already good enough.
Yes. Yes, it's that lovely connection that you get with the soil. It's a really calming. I find living in the city, to come home in the afternoon and to dig around, and even if I pull out a few weeds, and you know, we're so quick to pull out weeds, but some of your most nutritious plants are actually the weeds.
Yeah. No, I think there's a lot of discovery to be done around that, And what I'm seeing is that there's actually some of the plants that were traditionally seen as weeds that's making it onto the high end of the culinary scene at the moment.
Yes, that is what's so exciting about all of this is, you know, something that you used to pull out and that you used to get rid of, now it's a fancy ingredient in a salad in a fancy restaurant.
Yeah. Rika, I think to... maybe to sort of start wrapping it up, if we say anybody can do it, any place is fine, it's really the will to make it work. It does require a bit of attention. It does require a bit of an attitude of delayed gratification. It does require asking a lot of people around advice. What sort of sources have you found is the best in terms of urban garden?
Well, I think reading books on growing vegetables, that helps. And if you look on social media, you will actually see that there's people who offer courses. I recently saw a course on growing vegetables in pots. And I should go and attend it. I think I still have a lot to learn. And go to your local nursery and ask people who are passionate about growing plants. Or speak to a horticultural student. I'm sure that we live in this era of knowledge. I think YouTube is a great source.
Absolutely.
And when you start doing it, you're going to learn things about your own environment. You're going to learn things about your own climate and about your own soil. So start doing it. That's also a way to learn.
Yeah. No, I think, what do they say? See one, do one, teach one, and then you never can forget.
Yes. And I, when Chris asked me about this thing, I said to him, Chris, I'm really just a failed urban farmer. So I've learned lots of lessons already. I've learned that the birds also really like my vegetables. And, you know, it's okay. Nature is abundant. So if you fail, start again.
Yeah. Now, I think that's the nice thing is that you don't have to do it on such a massive scale that, you know, if a crop fails or whatever, that it's, you know, going to financially ruin you. And that's the benefit about a lot of people doing small things. Again, I think the involvement of people and what I've just found on this journey is people is, you know, actually so friendly and so abundant with their advice, and I really think that one of your goals in starting an urban farm must be to also enrich your social environment.
No, it definitely will. It definitely will, and you will form deep connections with the people who talk to you about growing plants.
Yeah, absolutely. Rika, this was fascinating, as always, speaking to you, and I want to thank you for taking some time out of your schedule and congratulate you on the good work you're doing with improving people's health.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay. Thank you very much for listening. If you haven't done so already, please hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, click the link on Facebook where you can review us and tell us what content you'd like. We aim to bring you the very best in content. Thank you very much. This is Chris Late signing out. Until next time, keep farming.